So today's passage comes from the written apology for the divinity of Christ, known as the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning with the 21st verse. And this is coming out of the Message. "Because a loveless world," said Jesus, "is a sightless world. If anyone loves me, they will carefully keep my word, and my Creator will love them. Will move right in to the neighborhood. Not loving me means not keeping my words. The message you are hearing isn't mine. It's the message of the Creator who has sent me. I am telling you these things while I am still with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Creator will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. The Holy Spirit will remind you of all the things that I have told you. I am leaving you whole and well. That's my parting gift to you, peace. I don't leave you the way that you're used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereft. So don't be upset, don't be distraught. You've heard me tell you, I'm going away and I'm coming back. If you love me, you will be glad that I am on my way to the Creator, because the Creator is the goal and the purpose of my life. I've told you this ahead of time, before it happens, so that when it does happen, the confirmation will deepen your belief in me. I'll not be talking to you much more like this, because the chief of this godless world is about to attack. But don't worry. This one has nothing on me, no claim on me. But so the world might know how thoroughly I love the Creator, I am carrying out my Creator's instructions right down to the last detail. Get up, let's go. It is time to leave." Amen. All right, so the first thing I got to tell you with full transparency, we're not sure how much of this is actually Jesus' words and how much of it is John trying to make a point. So when you study this particular piece of scripture, we do have to grab at some points that come out of this story and not worry so much about, okay, is this literally correct? Amen? You get that? Because now, it's part of what used to be called the farewell discourse of Jesus. This is, you know, it's right before he goes to the garden. It's right before he gets betrayed by Judas. It's right before the arrest and the trial and all of that awful stuff. And much like most of us, when we're spending time with people that we're with and that we know we're not going to see them again anytime soon, what do? We have a goodbye conversation. We have a reminder of how well you were loved or liked by them. I remember that part of the trip to Seattle when my mom was in her last days was to be able to see her again and have some last words. I don't know why our last words to somebody who's about to die mean so much more than the words that we said before we knew they were going to die. I think it's because of the way we see and work with people that if I'm not going to see you again, I want to send you off with a gift. And that's really what John was trying to do in this particular rendition of writing, is to make sure that we understood what the actual gift of God through Jesus was. Anybody want to take a guess? No, we've only been talking about it for 8 weeks. Love. The fact of the matter is that you are loved by God, that Jesus is following all the instructions, following the way it's going, right down to the last detail, to make sure that you all understand that when you're in all these fixes and calamities and chaos around you, that what? You're loved. And that, my friends, is 9 times out of 10 what gets us through whatever chaos or calamity we're in. Amen? We've had pets die. And what happens? Because of the love that our partners share with us, we get through it. Amen? We've had family members die. We get through it because there's people around us that love us. We get through life because we know that we are loved. So, there's actually 4 things that come out of this reading today that I want to give you, and 3 of them I'm not going to spend a lot of time on. I'm just going to let you know that what they are. All right. There are 4 promises that Jesus actually makes in this writing, or the author has Jesus make. The first one is that the love is real, and if you keep Jesus' word, then you'll experience that love. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, you know, Pastor, come on. Really? Well, yeah. Keep what Jesus taught you. What did Jesus teach you? What is it? Oh, yeah, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give drink to the thirsty. In other words, treat people like you want to be treated. Amen? Number 2, this is Christ's word at this point. That is what we have got to remember, is that the promise of Christ through the apostles, we find Christ's promise in Scripture, and we get it in the gift of the Spirit. That is the whole job of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know there's some of you go out there and you've gone to those churches where they dance a lot and they pray a lot and they yell and scream and all that kind of stuff. And we've got Pentecost coming up and we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Let me slow you down for a minute. The gift of the Spirit and the whole purpose of any of those gifts that come, discernment, healing, preaching, talking in tongues, all of them are for one purpose and one purpose only. And that is to remind you that you are loved unconditionally by God. In other words, the Spirit is there to remind you of what you've been taught. It's not a show, folks. You know, that's one of the things. It's funny how you're back in town and your name has been mentioned a lot as far as the way the service is organized. But one of Lance's famous questions when he first started coming to this church for people was, are you coming to worship or are you coming to be entertained? The Holy Spirit is not about entertainment. It is about reminding you what Jesus taught us. Number 3, which has to do with the Holy Spirit. It is also what? Your conscience. Brothers and sisters, I get so tired of people telling me that God had something to do with that awful shooting, or why does God let this happen, or how does that happen, and people pray to God for their dice to roll right and gambling and all that. That's all crap, folks. God gave you a mind. And the key that's in your mind is called what? Free will. The gift of God to you is to use that free will. As much as God will do, not being a puppet master, but as much as God will do to help you through this world, it's called the Holy Spirit. To remind you, to let you know that, A, in the midst of all this, you're not far from God. In the midst of that terrible car wreck, God is right there with you. In the midst of being fired from your job, God is right there with you. In the middle of the breakup, God is with you. So those are the first 3 points. And then there's the final point that's probably the most important. And that is this thing called peace. Jesus tells us that he's giving us peace, not like the world gives, but he's giving us peace. How do we describe that? How do we feel that? What's that picture look like? If you've been around this church very long, you know that I used to tell the story about this dude who was really super rich, and he commissioned an artist who was really good to draw him a picture that he could put up in his house, and it would make him know peace every time he looked at it. And so this artist went off, and he drew this picture. And it was a beautiful picture. As a matter of fact, by the way, if I ever get a cameraman here so we can swing around, then you can see stuff. But if you look around this park, look off into the woods, listen to the birds, you can tell what? It's very peaceful, is it not? hearing the voices of the kids brings about a sense of peace. And so he got done with that painting, and he brought it into the rich guy, and the rich guy looked at it and said, that's not peace. That doesn't make me think of peace at all. I'm not paying you for this painting. You need to do better than that. And the guy went back, and he was like, well, what is this guy's definition of peace? And so he started thinking about it, and he thought, oh, it's not the tree in the woods, it's water. And so he made a picture of a lake and water and all the birds around the lake and all the life around the lake. And, of course, there's a lot of people that are listening to the sermon. The best place that you can find some peace is what? Go to the lake. Sit on your boat. Be out there and enjoy it. So he gets done with that, and he brings it back to the dude. And guess what? That wasn't it either. And now the artist is pissed. Wouldn't you be? Especially if you weren't getting paid and you've done this twice. And so the guy decides that before he could do this whole thing of peace, that he's going to have to work out his feelings. And so he paints a painting where there's water, but it's stormy and there's waves crashing all over the place. It's a very angry portrait. And over in the corner, he paints a cliff. And inside the cliff is a little hole with a bird sitting in a nest. And he said, that's it. And he brought it back to the man, and the man looked at it and said, you have done really well. That is peace. And what it is a reminder, folks, that no matter how much chaos is around you, no matter how many times we hear crap on Facebook, no matter how many times we watch the stock market go up and down, no matter how bad traffic gets in Atlanta, hallelujah, no matter what the housing market does, that off in the corner is this peace that Jesus has promised us. It's peace that's meant to be there to remind you that in the midst of chaos, you're okay. In the midst of calamity, it's going to be all right. In the midst of health issues, you're going to be healed one way or another. See, people talk about my mother dying, and one of the things that's helped me through all of this is, yes, she died in this world, but she's healed now. As she celebrates in heaven with all of our dogs and with all those people that have gone before her. You understand that that is the teaching of Jesus, that not even death can win. The peace that Jesus gives us tells you you no longer live on land. I like this. Are you ready? You live on love. You no longer are working for a nation or the man. You're working with your neighbor. You're no longer under the law. You're under grace. You no longer act out of fear, but you live out of joy. That is the peace that Jesus gives and the world can never give you. Amen.